Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 9, Text 33. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 9, Text 33, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Tribhuvana Kamanam Tamala Varnam. Ravi, you're ready to go set up? Okay, then we'll chant together. Tribhuvana Kamanam Tamala Varnam. Ravikara Gauravarambaram Dadhane. Vapuralaka Kulavritanan Abjam. Vijaya Sake Ratiras to Mainavadya. Tribhuvana Kamanam Tamala Varnam. Ravikara Gauravarambaram Dadhane. Vapur alaka kula vritana nabjam. Vijaya sake ratiras tume navadya. Tribhuvana. Three statuses of planetary systems. Kamanam. The most desirable. Tamala Varnam. Bluish like the Tamal tree. Ravikara. Sun rays. Gaura. Golden color. Varambaram. Glittering dress. Dadhane, one who wears. Vapuhu, body. Alaka, kula. Avrita, covered with paintings of sandalwood pulp. Anana, abjam, face like a lotus. Vijaya, Sakhe, unto the friend of Arjuna. Ratihi, Astu, may attraction be reposed upon him. May, my, Anavadya, without desire for fruitive results. Translation, Bhishma Dev is speaking. Sri Krishna is the intimate friend of Arjuna. He has appeared on this earth in his transcendental body, which resembles the bluish color of the Tamal tree. His body attracts everyone in the three planetary systems, upper, middle, and lower. May his glittering yellow dress and his lotus face covered with paintings of sandalwood pulp be the object of my attraction, and may I not desire fruitive results. Purport. When Sri Krishna, by his own internal pleasure, appears on earth, he does so by the agency of his internal potency. The attractive features of his transcendental body are desired in all the three worlds, namely the upper, middle, and lower planetary systems. Nowhere in the universe are there such beautiful bodily features as those of Lord Krishna. Therefore, his transcendental body has nothing to do with anything materially created. Arjuna is described here as the conqueror, and Krishna is described as his intimate friend. Bhishma Dev, on his bed of arrows after the battle of Kurukshetra, is remembering the particular dress of Lord Krishna which he put on as the driver of Arjuna's chariot while fighting was going on between Arjuna and Bhishma. Bhishma's attraction was drawn by the glittering dress of Krishna, and indirectly he admired his so-called enemy Arjuna for possessing the Lord as his friend. Arjuna was always a conqueror because the Lord was his friend. Bhishma Dev takes this opportunity to address the Lord as Vijaya Sakhe, friend of Arjuna, because the Lord is pleased when he is addressed conjointly with his devotees, who are related with him in different transcendental humors. While Krishna was the charioteer of Arjuna, sun rays glittered on the dress of the Lord, and the beautiful hue created by the reflection of such rays was never forgotten by Bhishma Dev. As a great fighter, he was relishing the relation of Krishna in the chivalrous humor. Transcendental relation with the Lord in any one of the different rasas, humors, is relishable by the respective devotees in the highest ecstasy. Less intelligent mundanas who want to make a show of being transcendentally related with the Lord artificially jump at once to the relation of conjugal love, imitating the damsels of Rajadham. Such a cheap relation with the Lord exhibits only the base mentality of the mundana, because one who has relished conjugal humor with the Lord cannot be attached to worldly conjugal rasa, which is condemned even by mundane ethics. The eternal relation of a particular soul with the Lord is evolved. A genuine relation of the living being with the Supreme Lord can take any form out of the five principal rasas, and it does not make any difference in transcendental degree to the genuine devotee. Bhishma Dev is a concrete example of this, and it should be carefully observed how the great general is transcendentally related with the Lord. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurumilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Nama Shrestham Manum Api Shachiputra Matra Sarupam Arupam Tas Yagrajam Urupurim Maturim Goshtavartim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhava Prapto yasya pratita kripaya shri gurum tam natosmi. Vandeham shri guru shri atah pada kamalam shri gurun vaishnavanscha shri rupam sagrajatam sahagana raghunatan vitam tam sajivam sadvaitam savadhutam parijana sahitam krishna taitanya devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This verse which we just read is one of several recorded in the Srimad Bhagavatam of Bhishma Dev, preparing himself in perfect consciousness to leave his body, which he did in the presence of Lord Krishna, completely undisturbed by the fact that he was about to leave his body. Prior to this, he had spoken extensively to Yudhishthira Maharaj and to many others who are present on many topics. It covers the largest, Bhishma's instructions cover the largest section of the Mahabharata. Actually, it covers two sections. What is that? Shantipava and Anushasana. And it's mostly worldly stuff. He was instructing Yudhishthira how to govern and what are the different duties for a king, and not only for a king, for all the citizens, and different kinds of charity and piety. And he instructed Yudhishthira in the value of chanting the holy names by reciting the Vishnu Sahasranama. And ultimately he came to the point of glorifying Krishna. He was given the boon by his father that he could quit the body whenever he liked. He was practically killed by Arjuna, although not officially. It was a bit of a trick. But he was incapacitated and he lay on the bed of arrows, which would be extreme suffering for any person less of a kshatriya or less of a devotee than him. He was waiting until the sun came to the northern coast, the Uttarayana, and at that time he wanted to leave the world. And he waited until all the fighting was over, and then Krishna came to him, and so many others came to him and offered their respect, having just killed him, practically. It's the kshatriya code that even friends may have to fight against each other. So Bhishma, he perfectly prepared his consciousness for passing from this world, and his passing he did in the presence of Lord Krishna. And how that was responded to others, by others, is described later in this chapter. Knowing that Bhishma Dev had merged into the unlimited eternity of the Supreme Absolute, all present there became silent like birds at the end of the day. Thereafter, both men and demigods sounded drums in honor, and the honest royal order commenced demonstrations of honor and respect. And from the sky fell showers of flowers. O descendant of Bhrigu, Shonaka, this is Suta Goswami speaking to Shonaka, after performing funeral rituals for the dead body of Bhishma Dev, Maharaj Yudhishthira was momentarily overtaken by grief. All the great sages then glorified Lord Sri Krishna, who was present there by confidential Vedic hymns. Then all of them returned to their respective hermitages, bearing always Lord Krishna in their hearts, within their hearts. I especially chose to speak on this subject, having recently received an email from a disciple about the passing away of one of her relatives, in this case her younger brother, which I regularly do. It's common for me to get emails saying my father passed away, my mother passed away, my whatever, usually father or mother. Some of the devotees who write like this are very much affected, it seems, especially with the passing of a mother. Just recently, I was in Dubai, and a devotee who used to be the barber and masseur for the Sheikh of Dubai, who had retired to just serve devotees. One of his services was shaving their head and doing massages, which he did. And he would do the mundan for the children when they're first shaved and like this. So he didn't want to serve the King of Dubai anymore, and he wanted to serve the devotees. So that's what he was doing. So I was considered to be a devotee, and I wanted to get my head shaved, so I had to shave my head. And then he went on to do that with others. I think that was your last head shave, was it, in Dubai, with that Balabhadra is his name. And he was there for a few hours because he really liked to do the service. He was massaging everyone. And a few hours later, after I had my head shaved, one of the devotees told me that Balabhadra's father just died. So he was still there. I asked him, "Oh, your father died?" He said, "Yeah, about 2 hours ago I got the news. His father in India." I said, "Well, aren't you going to go?" He said, "No, my elder brother is there. He was 90-something years old, so it's not so surprising." But he got the news and he just went on with his service, unaffected. Unusual. I'm going to read my reply. I don't have the mail that I got, but it's a reply to a disciple, a female disciple of mine, disciple in a female body, from Punjab, who wrote to me a little over a year ago in a quite emotional way, saying, "My mother has passed away, what will I do?" I wrote back in quite a severe manner, you could say, because it would be hoped that someone who is practicing Krishna consciousness would have at least read as far as the beginning of the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Ashocha ananvasochas tvang pragya vadang shabhasha se gatasu nanugas. Gatasu nanugasun cha nanu shochandi panditaha. A learned person does not lament for the living. While speaking learned words, you are mourning for that which is, you're grieving for that which should not be grieved about. For a learned person does not lament either for the living or the dead. So I wrote in reply to her as follows: "Your mother has died. Your father will die. You will die. Every conditioned soul has died more times than there are atoms on the earth." How many atoms are there on the earth? Any science buffs here? Uncountable. Maybe some scientist can estimate. Uncountable. But, I continue the email, "but nobody dies, therefore those who are wise lament neither for the living nor the dead." From Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text 11. "By seriously practicing Krishna consciousness, you are immensely helping the jiva who, as your mother, gave birth to your present body. So go on reading Bhagavad Gita as it is, understand reality, and act in such a way that you will not have to be born again. To become fully Krishna conscious is the best way to benefit not only yourself, but also your family members." This might seem a bit of a severe reply to someone who is distressed, but it is realistic. We naturally feel distress when a loved one passes away. Even animals, some animals we see, they feel distress when a loved one passes away. But we are supposed to see with the eye of eternity, that I am not this body. The body that gave birth to this body is also not the person who I relate to as mother, father, or whatever. We're all eternal, spiritual, living beings, and our real relationship is with Krishna in the spiritual world. So, yes, just recently in May, I got an email. On 22nd of May, 2022, my younger brother, named so-and-so, suddenly passed away due to an unexpected heart attack. Our whole family is in depression. My mother's condition is very bad. At this old age, she is undergoing the pain of separation from her son. My parents have to take care of my brother's family. I tried to pacify my mother, but it is not of much use. Practically, I am understanding how material life is full of miseries. So this is from a disciple whose mother and father are also initiated. The younger brother wasn't. He didn't have interest in Krishna consciousness, the one who passed away. The mother is the mother who's pretty old, older than my body, is very much affected by that. So we see how different people react differently. Devotees. Balabhadra, the Baba, got the news his father passed away. He just went on with his service. And then this devotee, whose son died, she's very much affected. I replied in response to this email, "Unsurprisingly, all your family members are deeply affected by your brother's death, but we have to see all such unhappy events by considering them in terms of the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. Doing so will not only help to soothe our minds, but will also help us to make advancement on the path of Krishna consciousness." So that was a short reply. And this talk that I'm giving is a longer reply to that email. And it is subject for us all to consider, because we all experience the death of loved ones, and we have to die ourselves. We see how Bhishma Dev prepared himself for death, and it was known that he was going to die. Of course, it should be known that everyone is going to die, but specifically that Bhishma was going to, he was preparing himself for passing away, and he did so. That was known by everyone present, and all the rishis and sages present, they became silent. Even if we know someone's going to die, but if they're very dear and very honored, like Bhishma Dev, still it impacts us. And then they went, all the sages went back to their ashrams, glorifying Lord Krishna, and said that after Yudhishthira had finished all this, doing all the ceremonies required for the passing of his grandfather, generally considered grandfather, Pitamaha Bhishma, then he was momentarily struck with a sense of grief. So philosophically we understand someone has passed away, but still there may be some emotional reaction. Srila Prabhupada was in Mauritius. I think he went there once only, and just on arriving he gave a talk. But at another talk he gave in Mauritius, in the questions and answers session, it was almost all people of Indian origin present. And one person questioned, he had some knowledge of Mahabharata, so he questioned that if someone has received spiritual knowledge but still he acts like an ordinary foolish person, is it not ridiculous? And he specified what he was talking about by saying that Arjuna had heard Bhagavad Gita from Krishna, but when his son was killed, Abhimanyu was killed, then he became so upset. He came back late to the camp after the battle. He'd been on the other side of the battlefield, and the others had reached. So he saw. No one would look at him. They didn't want to look at his eye because they all felt very bad. How could they let this young boy, 16 years old, what are we going to say to Arjuna? We let him into this Chakravyuha. He was the only one present in that area of the battlefield at that time who could break the military formation of the Kurus, which was devastating the Pandava forces. The only two people on the battlefield who knew were Arjuna, who was way, way, way away, long way away. And of course Krishna knows everything, but Krishna was with Arjuna. And Abhimanyu was the only one who knew. He knew how to enter, but he hadn't received instruction how to come out. So he said, I'll go in, I'll make a path, and you all follow me, and then we can fight all the warriors together. But Jayadratha had received a benediction from Lord Shiva that he could defeat all of the Pandavas one time, not Arjuna. So Jayadratha, Abhimanyu single-handedly broke into the military formation, the Chakravyuha, and the others were supposed to follow him, but Jayadratha blocked their path. And although Jayadratha is a very inferior fighter, for that one time he was able to defeat all the Pandavas. And then Abhimanyu was trapped inside, and so many Maharathis were there, and even then, with great difficulty only, were they able to kill him. But the Pandavas thought, what are we going to do? What shall we say to Arjuna, his beloved son? We sent him into a situation where he was killed. And so Arjuna could immediately understand, entering the camp, something is seriously wrong. When he got the news, he lamented and he became so angry at Jayadratha. He said, tomorrow I will kill Jayadratha. Either that or I'll enter fire. So he became extremely upset. So the man asking the question to Srila Prabhupada said, is it not ridiculous that he became so upset at the death of his son after hearing from Krishna, Bhagavad Gita, one who is wise laments not for the living or the dead? Srila Prabhupada answered, he wasn't going to say Arjuna's ridiculous. He said, no, he said it's natural to feel when someone so close passes away. But the real point is that Arjuna didn't give up his duty. He told Krishna, Karishe vachanam tava, I will follow your order, I will fight. And he didn't stop doing that. He went on with his duty of fighting. So it's natural to feel upset when a loved one passes away, but one should not stop doing one's duty. That was Srila Prabhupada's reply. So, yes, it's natural to feel when a loved one passes away. A lot of our discussion in Krishna consciousness is about death. The death movement. It's, what is that? The art of living. But we have, the art of living is some fluffy new age gurus, silly ideas about how you should live your life. We have in the Science of Self-Realization one chapter called The Art of Dying. The Art of Dying. Our whole movement is Ante Narayana Smriti. Janmalabha Parapunsa Ante Narayana Smriti. The best thing that we can do with our birth, having attained human birth, the best thing is that we can die. I didn't finish the sentence yet because you're going to die. You're going to die. Dhruvang janma mritasya cha. Everyone who is born has to die. So the best thing that one can do, having been born, is dying remembering Narayana. And the whole life is meant for preparation for that. Antakale chamameva smaran mukva kalevaram yaprayati samadbhavam tyajantyasti natra sangshayaha. One who remembers me when quitting his body, Krishna says, does not take birth again, but attains to me. So the whole of this Krishna consciousness movement can be said, it can be taken from different perspectives, but one major perspective, and especially for us who are taking birth after birth after birth after birth in this material world, for us, one major perspective, why should we take to Krishna consciousness? This movement stops death. As Srila Prabhupada was once asked sarcastically, what is the benefit of chanting this Hare Krishna? Srila Prabhupada said forcefully, it stops death. Which no doubt the person who heard that became even more sarcastic in his thought, because he doesn't stop death. All of us present here are going to die. You are going to die. I'm not cursing you, but it's just a fact. Everyone knows we all have to die. But how we die, that is the art of dying. We have to prepare ourselves so that we can think of Krishna. And that's why we are engaged in this Srinvanti, Gayanti, Grananti, Abhikshnasha. We read this morning, Smaranti Nandanti Tavehi Tangjanaha Ta Eva Pashantya Chirena Tavakam Bhava Pravaho Paramam Padam Param Padam. By this practice of hearing and chanting about Krishna and taking pleasure in ourselves and in others doing so, then we can see Krishna. And as within a short time, you'll be able to see the line. And elsewhere in the prayers of Kunti, she states what is the value of seeing Krishna. The vipada santu tas vipada santu ta shashvat tatra tatra jagat guru bhavato darshanam yatsyad apuna bhava darshanam. She prays, may there be problems. No one prays like that. Who prays like that? Everyone goes, if anyone is at all religious, they go to the temple or the mosque or they sit at home or wherever they are and they pray, oh God, remove all my problems. And Kunti Devi says, give us some more problems. You've solved all our problems, now give us some more problems. Because when there are problems, we think of you intensely and you personally come and help us, and by seeing you, we will no longer see repeated birth and death. Apuna bhavadarshanam. Krishna consciousness, what is the purpose of this movement? To learn how to die. You have to learn how to die. Anyway, we all die. So how do you have to learn? But in what consciousness we should die? We should prepare ourselves for that. And be prepared for the death of others also. It's going to happen. Before we die, we'll see so many die. That's why one of the four miseries, janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha dosha anudarshanam, we are enjoined to see that birth, death, old age and disease are miserable. Dukkha dosha anudarshanam. We see, but we should see anudarshanam through the eye of shastra, through the eye of sadhus, to understand how this is miserable. So one death, generally when we hear that death is miserable, we think, yes, when I have to, dying is miserable, that's true. But the death of others is also miserable. Especially loved ones, even not loved ones. I recently met a devotee who had been in Ukraine, and she was affected when she'd seen people, even the people she didn't know, just their bodies all mangled and splayed out with the eyes staring upwards. And doctors, we have at least two medical doctors present with us, maybe more. Oh, actually, well, I don't know. Is Radha Gokulananda here? She's also a medical doctor. Maybe not here. She's. She is here? She's in the kitchen, yeah. I thought she wouldn't be exactly sitting here because she's running around busily. Since she got the news, it's going to be here. It's been a non-stop marathon for her and her husband. But you see so much death. Of course, it depends what kind of doctor you are. I guess a dermatologist doesn't see so much, but at least in your medical school and in your internment, you have to, and even a dermatologist, I guess, get to see or hear about more deaths than most people do. And it's miserable every time, with few exceptions. There may be some exceptions where the person dies and no one cares about them at all, or maybe not so few. But it's miserable for those who are left behind also. It hurts in such a way, especially if we don't know that the person didn't die. Na hanyate hanyamane sharire. You can't kill anyone, you can't be killed. But if we think this body is all in all, I'll never see that person. It's part of our existence, part of our reality, which we construct in our minds as being reality and as being that which makes us happy. And all of a sudden, it's irreplaceably gone. So without knowledge that no one dies, it must hurt more. We should, if we understand that no one dies, ultimately no one dies, we should be able to accept death philosophically. Just another change of body. We've had so many. An example of a devotee who took the death sudden unexpected death of his son in the most exemplary manner possible is Srivast Thakur, who had the fortune of having Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan pastimes in Navadvip. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would dance in the home, the courtyard of Srivast Thakur every night, all night, with his associates. We can hardly imagine how ecstatic that chanting is. Sometimes we talk about ecstatic kirtan. Well, what is the kirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his associates? Unimaginably ecstatic. Srivas is at his home, so he also joins in the kirtan, but he also has to see to different arrangements and see everything's going on, make sure the rascals don't come in, those who want to come and mock, and outsiders not allowed. Only selected persons are allowed inside. So he heard from the women's quarters, because in those kirtans only the male devotees would directly participate in the chanting and dancing, and the women from their inner quarters, they wouldn't mix up with the husband. It was not like you have a small apartment. You see the signs in India, that 3BHK means three bedrooms, hall and kitchen, and that's it. Three, or it couldn't be 2BHK. I don't think they even advertise if it's only one. So it's small, and you're all crushed together. And then the modern advancement means there's no space to live in. It's noticeable, actually. I come from the backward village of India to the home of civilization, the only truly civilized country in the world, Britain, and of course, southern Britain, southeast Britain, and the height of civilization. In the bathroom, you can hardly turn around in. There's no space. You don't have any space. So advanced. Anyway, the women were in their own quarters, and Srivas heard from inside those quarters. He heard the sound of loud wailing. So he went inside to find out what's going on. What's going on? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dancing here in kirtan, and the women are screaming as if there's something wrong. How can there be anything wrong? So he went, and his baby son had died. His reaction, shut up! Stop crying! Don't disturb the ecstasy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. After so many lifetimes, what an opportunity. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is dancing in our home and you're just lamenting like ordinary foolish people. He told them to keep quiet. What a reaction. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, after some time, he said, he stopped the chanting and said, I feel there's something wrong. Something doesn't feel quite right. And Srivas said, with you present, how can there be anything wrong? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, something happened. No, nothing happened. Something happened. Well, my son died. Why didn't you say? Why should I say? You're chanting and dancing in ecstasy. You're benefiting all the jivas in the whole universe. Why should I stop that? The benefit that you're doing by chanting, every jiva is benefited, and including the son, the so-called son who passed away. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went into, although normally he wouldn't go into that women's quarters, but went inside in his household or ashram at this time. And by his mystic potency, he is, after all, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. he brought to life that jiva. It's similar to the Chitraketu story. Brought him to life and had the jiva in that body doing a little preaching. And the jiva said, due to the jiva in the body of the child who had just come back to life by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I didn't say that. Srivas, he told the women, if you don't shut up, just keep quiet, I'm going to go and jump in the Ganga and drown myself, so you'll lose me also. He was really serious about it. Then he went back to the kirtan, he was dancing in ecstasy, and then Srivas, the dead child, he said, the revived child said that, due to my past pious or impious activities, due to the force of my previous activities, my destiny, I was placed in a body in the home of Srivas Thakur, and now due to my destiny, I my time was up, so I had to leave, and now I have to go elsewhere. Everyone, the jiva said, enjoys and suffers the fruits of their activities, and this idea of relationships, as we're talking so much about relationships, father, mother, child, darling, they're all useless. That's from the absolutely spiritual point of view. So he said this and then went away again. You see, he was brought to say what he had to say and then he left again. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued the kirtan and he told Srivas, you lost one son? All right, myself and Nityananda will be your sons. You lost one and gained two. So Srivas is... reaction to the death of his son. So, appropriate to this theme, we can sing Bhaktivinoda Thakur's bhajan Duralabha Manava Janma Labhya Shongshare. You can find that. Duralabha Manava Janma. I'll just say a few more words to finish off this. Oh, you can get another mic and someone can read the translation before we sing it. You got that. Okay, please find it with the translation and that can be read. And I'll just say a few more words to finish off this present talk on reactions to the death of a loved one. I didn't go through the Chitraketu story because it's very similar to the Srivas Thakur story. One exception is on the passing away of a Vaishnava. Then we should, not that it can be legislated, but we should feel emotionally, because Vaishnavas, they give us their association, especially those who we take shelter of. They give us guidance, they help us, they're our true friends. So we know they didn't die, and in one sense it's auspicious. One term for the passing away of a Vaishnava is Vaishnava Vijay, means the victory of a Vaishnava, conquered over birth and death. So that is one exception. So who will read the translation of this song before we sing it? You want to sing, want to read it then?
Hare Krishna. So, translation. The human form of life is the rarest opportunity for attaining spiritual perfection. But now I am lamenting, because I've somehow or other been born with such an opportunity and I've wasted it by never worshipping Lord Krishna. Oh, to whom shall I tell the tale of this misery? Having married and entered into the entanglements of materialistic family life, I passed my time in vain. I never got any tangible gain or permanent benefit, only trouble and botheration. What kind of world is this anyway? It seems to be just like a magic lantern show that I saw at a carnival, wherein so many shadows and optical illusions dance magically before my eyes. I feel great attachment and identification with such a world, and thus day after day pass by fruitlessly without any purpose whatsoever. When this body drops dead on the ground, then what will remain mine? At that moment, all of my sons and dearest loved ones will not be able to give me any happiness. I work hard just like an ass every day, and now I am wondering for whom I am working so hard. I am still surrounded by so many illusions. I waste every day in useless, insignificant work, and I waste every night controlled by sleep. And in every 24 hours, I never for one second consider that cruel death is sitting very close by my side. I live a very carefree lifestyle, sometimes eating a lot or eating a little if I feel like it. Sometimes I see nice things around the town, or sometimes I do not go out at all. Sometimes I wear opulent clothing, or if I'm in a mood, I'll wear something simple. I live so carefree that I never consider that one day I will have to give up this body. My poor heart is plagued by constant anxieties about the maintenance and daily turmoil created by my body, my house, my wife, my family members, and my social obligations. All these anxieties are pinching me and destroying all my intelligence. Alas, alas, what a remorseful situation has arisen. I am absorbed in all this trouble, but I never considered that all these things are temporary and subject to perish very soon. After I'm dead and gone, where will all of my material opulences remain? When my body will be thrown in the pit at the cremation grounds, it will simply lie there motionlessly. Then many crows, vultures, ants, and worms will come and playfully sport there. All the stray dogs and jackals will then become very delighted, and in great ecstasy, they will make a festival ground out of my body and will have a huge celebration and feast. Just see, this is the ultimate destination of this material body. And the most amazing thing is that all of my material opulences, house, family, and friends have exactly the same destination. Therefore, I ask of anyone who has any sharp intelligence, please give up all of these temporary illusions presented by Maya and kindly search after the means to get pure devotion to Lord Krishna, for this is the only real, tangible, eternal truth.
Durlabha manava janma labhiya shangshare durlabha manava janma labhiya shangshare durlabha manava janma labhiya shangshare. Krishna na bhajino dukha kahibo kahare. Shangshara shangshara kare Miche gelo kaas. Labna hoi lo kichu Ghatilo Janjal. Kishera Shangshara E Chaya Baji Prai. Ihate mamata kari brithadino jai. Ihate mamata ki rabe ama ke ho shuka nahi debe putra pariba. Gardabhera mato ami kari parishram. Kala gieto kari naghuchilo bhram. Dino jaya micha kaje nisha nidra boshe. Nahi bhavi maran nikate ache boshe. Bhalo manda kai heri pari chintahin. Nahi bhavi e deho chari blokon indin. Deho geho kala tradi chinta abirato. Jagiche hridaye mor buddhi kari hato. Hai, hai, nahi bhavi anitta eshab. Jivana bigote kota rahibe bhai bhav. Sharshane Shari Ramama Pariya Rahibe. Bihanga Patanga Tai Bihara Koribe. Kukura Shrigala Shaba Anandita Hoye. Mahotsava Karibe Amara Deha Laye. Je dehere gati ta taranu gata. Shongshara bhai baba ar bandhu jana jata. Ateva maya moha chari buddhiman. Nitta tata krishna bhakti karuna shandha. Yeah, quite a miserable song. Realistically miserable, or miserably realistic. Until you come to the last verse. Atayv, therefore, having considered the nature of the reality of this body, therefore, an intelligent person, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, this is in the section of his songs coming under the heading Upadesh, instruction. Therefore, an intelligent person gives up all this illusion and seeks out the eternal truth of devotion to Krishna. Hare Krishna. Where's the time? Where's my watch? Any time, please? 1:11. Okay, well, we don't have time for another talk. We can have a little song. So, to change the mood completely, let's sing Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Daite. Please find it and read the translation.
O Radha, beloved of Madhava, O you who are worshipped by all the young girls of Gokula, all glories unto you, all glories unto you. You who dress yourself in such a way as to increase Lord Damodara's love and attachment for you, O Queen of Vrindavan, which is the pleasure grove of Lord Hari. O new moon that has arisen from the ocean of King Vrishabhanu, O friend of Lalita, O you who make Vishakha loyal to you due to your wonderful qualities of friendliness, kindness, and faithfulness to Krishna. O you who are filled with compassion, O you whose divine characteristics are described by the great sages Shanaka and Sanatana. O Radha, please be merciful to me.
Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Daite Radhe. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Daite. Gokula Tarani Mandala Mohite. Gokula Tarani Mandala Mohite. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Daite. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Daite. Gokula Tarani Mandala Mahite. Gokula Tarani Mandala Mahite. Damodara Rati Vardhana Veshe Hari Nishkuta Brinda Bipineshe. Damodara Rati Vardhana Veshe Hari Nishkuta Brinda Bipineshe. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Daite. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Daite. Gokula Tarani Mandala Mahite. Gokula Tarani Mandala Mahite. Vrishabhanu Dadi Nava Shashi Leke Lalita Shaki Guna Ramita Bishake. Vrishabhanu Dadi Nava Shashi Leke Lalita Shaki Guna Ramita Bishake. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Daite. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Daite. Gokula Tarani Mandala Mahite. Gokula Tarani Mandala Mahite. Karunankurumai Karuna Bharite Chanaka Sanatana Barnita Charite. Karunam kurumai karuna bharite shanaka sanatana barnita charite. Radhe jaya jaya madhava daite. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Daite. Gokula Tarani Mandala Mahite. Gokula Tarani Mandala Mahite. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Dayate. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Dayate. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Rama Rama Hare Hare. Jaya Vishnupad Paramahamsa Pari Rajaka Acharya Ashtotar Sada Sri Srimad A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupad Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Pari Rajaka Acharya Ashtotar Sada Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupad Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Prem Se Kaho Sri Krishna Taitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopigo Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai, Vrindavandham Ki Jai, Navaridham Ki Jai, Ganga mai ki jai, Yamuna mai ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Tulasi Devi ki jai, Samaveta Bhaktavrinda ki jai, Gopremanande Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravarni Pracharne. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarne. Hare Krishna. This session is over. On to the next ecstatic program, honoring prasadam, and more later, Krishna willing.